Where you are going on 1st of March?
1st of March I'll go. Plan it out.
You return before going.
Ah, yeah. Then we can have 2 classes. Okay. We are looking at the Acharya's, predecessor Acharya's commentaries. I was reading Vishnu Chakravarti's commentary to text 56. Dukhesha ladvigna mana sukhesha vigata spriha mitraga vayakrodha stichadhir muni ruchyate. Evam sukheshu api upasthiteshu vigatasprha iti prarabdham idam avashyam bhogyam iti svagadam svashtam cha dvanasya tasya sukhaspriha rahityalingam sudhiya gamyam eveti bhavaha. So this person, samajistha, sthitapragya, as I explained, the highest sthitapragya is one who is described by Srila Prabhupada in his commentary, and that is similar to the description given by Madhvacharya, that it actually refers to one who has attained a very high level, the highest perfection of Krishna consciousness. But the sthitapragya who is spoken of by Srila Vishnu Chakravarti, Baladeva Vidyabhushan, Ramanujacharya, Keshav Kashmir, they are talking of someone who has come to the plane of Bhakti Mishra Jnana through the indirect process. So, but they also have some features of the sthitapragya. So anyway, we can consider that these are common features. So sthitapragya, when he attains material happiness, he does not have any desire for such happiness. In other words, he tells himself and he tells others that this is simply my prarabdha. It is already started from my previous life and it is fructifying now. The traditional example which we come across in Prabhupada's books about prarabdha karma is that of sowing a seed. When you sow a seed, after some time it sprouts, it becomes a plant, it grows, it produces leaves, shoots, and then it produces fruits, flowers and then fruit. So this is one example. The other example is that of an arrow. You shoot an arrow and you already shot it and it's on the way. So that is another example of prarabdha. But the more common example that Prabhupada gives is this one, based on Rupa Goswami's own explanation. At any rate, you already started it long time back. So now the fruit is coming. So he understands that prarabdham idam avashyam bhogyam. This is my prarabdha. I have to experience this. I cannot get out of this. So in other words, tasya sukhas purha rahityalingam. He has no desire for happiness. That is the characteristic which can be understood by intelligent people. Tat tal lingam eva svashti kritya darshayati vito vigato rago nuragas suheshu. He specifies that and clarifies that in the second half of the verse. Vita raga vaya krodha. He does not have any raga. Raga in this context refers to anuraga, affection, attachment. He does not have any attachment for material happiness. Vitam bhayam svabhoktribhyo vyagradhibhyaha vitaha krodhaha svahantrishu vandhu janeshu yasyasaha. He does not have any fear from people, people or animals who are going to eat him up or destroy him, like tiger for instance. And he is not angry towards people who kill, such as his relatives. His relatives would be killing. So he does not have all this. Yathaiva adi bharatasya devyah parshvam prapitasya svachheda chikirshoho vrishala rajat na bhayam na pitatrak krodho bhut iti. Just as in the history of Adi Bharata, as I mentioned yesterday, Bhagavata, fifth canto, describes a great king. There's a great king, Bharat. He left his kingdom and then he went to perform the form of Krishna consciousness which was prevalent at that time. Somehow or other he got attracted to a deer out of mundane compassion for that deer, and he got distracted from his Krishna conscious practice into unnecessary affection for this deer. Then when he died, because his state of consciousness was the deer's, his mind was fixed on the deer. In his next life, he took birth as a deer. However, he was a jatasmara. He remembered his previous life. And even as a deer, the deer strayed near the ashrams in the Himalayas, in that area. And then, after he died as a deer, then he was born in a Brahmin family. But this time he didn't want to be distracted by any of the lower teachings of the Vedas. So he pretended to be a madman, an inert person. He would never respond to anyone. So people thought that he was just an inert person. So he is referred to as Jada Bharata. Sometimes I refer to him as Adi Bharata, the original Bharata, because later on there was another Bharat Maharaj, son of Shakuntala, different Bharata. But this is the original Bharata. So at one point, because he was pretending to be inert, he was actually completely absorbed in pure devotional service to the Supreme Lord. And because he had already attained Kevala Bhakti. But Vishwanath Chakravarti quotes him as an example here, because he has all the features of one who is on the Bhakti Mishra Gyan platform. If you have attained Kevala Bhakti, you have automatically attained all the good qualities of one who is on the any lower platform. So Vishwanath Chakravarti quotes him as an example. So what happened at one point was that he was taken in front of a deity of Kali for some human sacrifice. People needed to do some human sacrifice. So they needed a human animal. A human animal is defined in scripture. Like for instance, somebody is mad. There are certain criteria by which one understands this. So in previous ages, these things were allowed. So at one point, they wanted to do, some low-class people, they wanted to do human sacrifice. So they found this Jada Bharat, so they tied him up and brought him like an animal. And they brought him before the deity of Kali. They're about to chop his neck off. At that time, Devi couldn't tolerate it. So she just came out of the deity. And she assumed many, many hands. And then she manifested many weapons. And then she killed all those people. Here's a pure devotee of the Supreme Lord. He knows nothing other than how to do good welfare to all the living entities. He is filled with compassion for everyone. He has love for the Supreme Lord. He has affection for the Vaishnavas. How can you try to kill such a pure soul? So she was so angry. So she came with her associates and they massacred that whole gangster group. So at that time, when he was being brought before the deity, they were about to cut his head. But he was not... Adi Bharata was not afraid, nor was he angry. Clear example, that's a graphic example. Not angry, not afraid also. You do whatever you want. Because I'm not my body anyway. He's already reached self-realization, Krishna realization. He's gone, he's transcendental. He is in this body, in this world, just out of compassion for these people. Just so that he can benefit some of these people in Krishna consciousness. That's all. He's not frightened, he's not terrified. Oh my God, you're catching me. Nothing. This is a perfect Vaishnava. So Chakravarti quotes him as an example. See, no fear. Na bhayam. Na api tatra krodho bhut. No anger. Not anger, angry at all. 57. Yas sarvatra anabhisneha stattat prakti shubhashuram. Nabhinandati nagveshti tasya pragya pratishthita. Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes, Sharir je parjanta thakibe, se parjanta jada, o jada sambandhi labhalab anibharja. Kintu sitapragya purush, se sakal labhalabhe anuragba viddesh karenna, je hetu tahar pragya samadite stito haiya thake. As long as one has a body, then gain and loss connected to matter is unavoidable. You cannot avoid it. However, the sthitapragya, the one whose consciousness is fixed, the samadhistha, one who is fixed in samadhi, he is not, he neither has an attachment towards gain, nor does he have hatred towards loss. Because he is situated on a different plane. Chakravarti writes a very important point. The verse says that the person has no affection for anyone. Yes, sarvatra anna visneha. Look at the word meanings. Yah, one who, sarvatra, everywhere. Anabhisneha, without affection. Sneha. Abhisneha means affection. Anabhisneha means no affection, without affection. So, this gives you the impression that he has no affection towards anyone. This gives you that impression. However, the reality is as described here. Anabhisneha sopadhisneha shunyaha. That means he has no material affection. Sopadhi shunyaha. That means he has no affection connected to material designations. What does this mean? Let us say somebody is a Vaishnava and he is married to a Vaishnava lady. Let us say that lady is a good Vaishnava also. At their level, they are good. At their level, they are good. And she has other of her womanly or psychological features. She is very cultured as per Vedic standard. So he likes her in that way also. So now, his affection for his wife has two aspects. One is the material aspect. For instance, she may always dress up very pleasantly before she comes in front of him. A standard part of Vedic culture. She doesn't allow him to abuse her. At the same time, she maintains an etiquette of respect. Another reason for affection. So there are so many things like this. So let us say she, in other words, she performs according to standard Vedic culture. So he has an affection because of that. On the other hand, she also may be a nice Vaishnava. She may be having an attitude of service to the Vaishnavas. She may be chanting Hare Krishna. She may want to give Krishna consciousness to others. So there's the other side. But the affection is of two aspects. One aspect is sobhadi sneha. Sobhadika sneha. That means the material aspect of affection. He has affection for her material aspect. And then there is nirrupadika sneha. There is a sneha, that's affection concerning herself as a Vaishnava, without considering her current material designations. See, this body is a designation. This concept of upadhi, designation, should be understood. Upadhi means the standard example. Let me try to explain what upadhi is. This is a little complex, but let me try my best. I'll use a classic example that's given. Suppose you take a crystal and you keep the crystal on a table. And then you take a red flower and you place it next to the crystal. Now the crystal will look red. The crystal will, because it reflects that red color. Now the redness in that crystal, that is called upadhi. You understand? Suppose you have a crystal. The crystal is transparent. It is white. And the redness does not belong to the crystal. The redness belongs to a flower. Now the redness in the flower is not a designation. It's not an upadhi. It is intrinsic to it. It is the rupa or dharma of the flower. It is not the rupa or dharma of the crystal when you place it next to it. But still the crystal has a red color. That red color is called a designation, upadhi. Similarly, I am inhabiting this man's body. I have the thoughts of a man corresponding to my previous samskaras in several lifetimes and my current life experience. I think like a man, act like a man, I have the taste of a man, I have all these things. On top of it, I have my own swarup, spiritual swarup, which because I have turned away from Krishna, I am under the clutches of Maya, I am not able to see myself. Okay, but a pure devotee will be able to see that. A pure devotee who has attained love of Krishna will be able to see that. So when he sees me, he sees two different things. He sees my swarup sleeping. And he sees my current material personality. My current material personality is a designation, it is an upadhi, like the red color of a crystal. When a red flower is placed next to a crystal. Whereas my actual swarup's personality is like the red color of the flower itself. This is my dharma itself. Let us say my swarup is to be a servant of Krishna's servants in Vrindavan, Goloka Vrindavan, let us say. I have a certain personality, whatever it may be. So then, let us say by the grace of my spiritual master and superiors in Krishna consciousness and Prabhupada, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, I am blessed with the qualification to serve Krishna in my swarup, in pure love for Krishna and his associates. So then I'll be functioning in my swarup. Now those characteristics, that personality, which is very different from Vidwan Gauranga. Vidwan Gauranga likes idlis and dosas. South Indian food. In this lifetime, now 2009. But my swarup may be very different. I may want to serve Krishna. I want to give Krishna's servants Raktaka, Patraka. I want to give them betel nuts to give to Krishna. Because in the spiritual world also, everybody has a certain liking how to serve Krishna. We understand that from Vishnu Chakravarti, Sankalpa Kalpadruma. Everybody has a certain liking to serve Krishna and Radharani in a certain way. So I may have certain liking to serve Krishna in a certain way. But Vidwan Gauranga, this personality, he likes to serve Krishna in a different way. He likes to teach Sanskrit, for instance. This is all upadhika. This is all designation. So my affection, the affection that I have for my wife, or let us say a man has affection for his child, who will be a nice devotee. So you have to carefully consider which type of affection, because there are two aspects. There's a material aspect, there's a spiritual aspect. Are you affectionate towards his upadhi? Or are you having affection for the soul? If it is affection for the soul, that is called nirupadhika sneha. Designation free affection. Whereas this is sopadhika sneha, which means it is affection for the designation. Affection for that designation. So Chakravarti Thakur says, Anna Visneha means Sopadi Sneha Shunya. It is free from affection for the designations that accompany every living entity. Dayalatvan Nirupadhir Ishan Matra Snehastu Tishte Deva. But because he has compassion, he has a little bit of affection for them, which is nirupadhika. In other words, It's not a sitapragya, it's a cold person who has no affection for anyone. He has no, he does not have the material aspect of affection. He only has a spiritual aspect of affection. In other words, he only has spiritual affection. Like Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati is a fine example of that. He was only interested in spiritually uplifting others. Material upliftment is there. There's a little bit, but it's not when material affection is helpful for the development of spiritual affection, then it is fine. When material affection is not helpful for development of spiritual affection, it's useless. So that is the point he's making here. Because there's some compassion, there is some nirupadika sneha. Tattat prasiddham sammana bhojanadi svaparicharanam shubham prapya ashubham anadharanam mushti praharadikam cha prapya kramena nabhinandati na prashamsati na tvam dharmikaha paramahamsa sevi sukhi bhaveti na brute na dveshti tvam papatma narake pateti na abhishapati. So he says that when he attains, you see the verse says, one who is unaffected by whatever good or evil he may obtain. In other words, he may attain good. Good means some pious behavior. He may be respected, he may be given a nice meal, he may be served very nicely. Or evil means some inauspicious behavior he may come across. Like people may disrespect him, they may punch him on their face with their fist. They do that. So he is neither praises it, nor does he envy it. When he is nicely served, he doesn't say, oh, you are such a religious person, you are a servant of the Paramahamsas, the sannyasis, oh, may you become happy. He doesn't say that. And when they criticize him, when they beat him and all that, he doesn't say, oh, you sinful soul, fall down to hell. He doesn't curse them like that. Tasya pragya pratishtita, samadhim pratishtita, susthita pragya uchyate iti artha. So that person's consciousness is properly fixed. Yada samharate chayam, kurvanga neva sarvasha, indriyana indriyarthe vyastasya pragya pratishtita. Bhaktivinoda, he explains, that under the with the sanction of intelligence, his senses, they move, not independently. Buddhir anugamato karja kare. With the sanction of intelligence, his senses function, not simply like that. Chakravarti, kim asita iti asya uttramah yadeti. This is the answer to the question how the yogi is situated. Indriyarthebhya shabdadibhya indriyani srotradini samharate. He withdraws his senses from the sense objects. Sense objects means sound, touch, form, taste, smell. And senses means ear, tongue. He withdraws his senses. Swadhinanam indriyanam bahya visheshu chalanam nishidhya antareva nishchalataya sthapanam sitapragyasya asanam ityartha. The situation of a sitapragya is that he situates his consciousness, or rather he situates his senses, which are normally independent, and he prevents them from running outside towards external sense objects, and he keeps the senses from inside, keeps the senses inside. Tatra drishtantah kurvangani mukhan netradini yatha swantareva svechaya sthapayati. So just like a kurma, a tortoise, it takes its face, his eyes, etc., keeps inside, and when needed, it brings it out by its controls. रुच्या निवर्तन्ते निराहारस्य देहिनः। देह विशिष्ट जीवेर निराहार द्वारा विषेण वृत्तिर जे विधान देखा जाए वहा अत्यंत मूढ़ लोक संबंधी विधान। फॉर सोल्स हु आर एम्बॉडी restricting the senses from sense enjoyment by means of nirahar, fasting and so on. This is for meant for people who are extremely foolish. This is what you know. These are good for practitioners of Ashtanga Yoga, which is fine for these people. Kintu sthita pragya purushgan sambandhe sei vidhi secret of Aina. This is not accepted by Sthita Pragyas. Sthita Pragya Purushera Param Tatter Saundarja Darshan Purva Tahate Akrishta Huya Samana Jadiya Vishaya Rag Tag Kore. The Sthita Pragyas, they have darshan of the beauty of the Supreme Absolute Truth and they are attracted to Him and therefore they can they abandon affection for mundane, insignificant, mundane sense objects. And, even though there are restrictions for extremely foolish people to control the senses from sense objects by means of fasting, etc., eternal auspiciousness for the living entity comes only on the path of spontaneous devotion, Ragmarg, where one becomes attracted by Krishna. Ati mudham vyakti ganer janna indriyartha hoite indriyagamke nirahandara sanjamita kuribar vyavastha thakileo jibe Ragmarg vatit nitya mangal lab hoina utkrishta vijay vishay prapta hoile rag svabhavata nikrishta vishay ke paritak kare. One's attraction for inferior objects automatically go away when one has obtained superior objects. Chakravarti, nanu mudhasyap yupavasataha rogati vashadva indriyanam visheshu achalanam sambhave. Krishna anticipates that Arjuna might be thinking. Krishna had just given the example of kurma, a tortoise withdraws its senses. So, he says, even foolish people who are engaged in, foolish people, you know, they sometimes, inert people, they also appear to be senseless. They also keep their senses under control. Or, people who are afflicted by some disease, they also control their senses by fasting, for instance. And they withdraw the senses from sense objects. So, they can also do this. So, why are you saying that this is the characteristic of a Sthita Pragya? See, Krishna had asked, Arjuna had asked, how is the Sthita Pragya situated? And the answer to that question is text 58. When one is able to withdraw his senses from sense objects, as a tortoise draws its limbs within the shell, he is firmly fixed in perfect consciousness. But many of these symptoms of withdrawing the senses from sense objects, they are also seen amongst people who are mad or amongst people who are fasting or they have accepted some austerity for the sake of good health, etc. So how can this be a definition of Sthita Pragya? So Krishna clarifies the point. Vishaya iti rasavarjam raso ragaha abhilashaha tam varjayatva abhilashaha tu vishayeshu nan nivartata ityartha. Yes, the embodied soul, the sense objects can be practiced to be refrained from by various negative restrictions for an embodied soul. That's a fact. However, there is an exception. Even though you are keeping the sense objects away from the embodied soul practically, by making some physical arrangement. Still, he has the desire, the hankering for enjoying them. Abhilashastu visheshu nanivartate. But his hankering for those sense objects don't go away. You're only physically separating them, his senses from sense objects. There are two different things: senses, sense objects, hankering for sense objects, and sense objects. You're only separating the personality's senses from sense objects. You're not separating his hankering from sense objects. His mind is still in the sense objects. You haven't separated his mind from sense objects. Asya sthita pragyasya tu param paramatmanam drishtva visheshu abhilashah nivartate iti na lakshana vyabhacharah. So the idea is, no, there is nothing wrong with my definition. For sthita pragya, having experienced the supreme soul, the supreme lord, the hankering for sense objects goes away. So he does not have the hankering for sense objects. In other words, his senses are free from sense objects. His mind is also free from sense objects. Both. His mind doesn't run after sense objects. His senses don't run. His mind doesn't run also. Atma sakshatkara samarthasya tu sadhakatvam eva natu siddhatvam iti bhavah. For one who's qualified to see the soul, such a person is classified as a sadhaka. He's not considered to be a siddha. Okay. Baladev Vidya. Few additional points. Generally he repeats Vishnu Chakravarti on this. But if I notice any additional point, I'll bring it up. This is 54. Sita pragyasya ka bhasha samadhistasya keshava sita dhih kim prabhasheta kim asita vrajeta kim. Eva mukta arjuna purva padyoktasya sita pragyasya lakshanam jnatam prichati. So having been told this, then Arjuna, he asks for a definition of the sthita pragya. He's inquisitive to know that. And so he asks Krishna this question. Stiteti. Sthita pragya chatvarah prashna. There are four questions regarding the sthita pragya. Samadhisthe ekaha. One question is about one who is situated in samadhi. Vyuthiretu trayaha. And three questions regarding when he is in wakeful consciousness. There are four states of consciousness for a conditioned soul, possible for a conditioned soul, or rather possible for a soul who has been conditioned, to be more precise. One is called Jagrata. Jagrata means wakeful state. Just like now, we are in Jagrata state. The mind is open, the senses are open. So we are interacting with each other on this plane. Then there's another one. There's another one called Swapna. Swapna means dream. Swapna means a dream. In the dream state, your physical senses are shut down. Only your mind and subtle senses are active. Because in a dream you're walking, you're seeing, so your senses are active. But your subtle senses, they are active. That's called Swapna. Then there is a third step, third stage called Sushupti. Sushupti. Deep sleep, dreamless sleep. The Upanishad explains that Sushupti is the greatest pleasure for the conditioned soul. At that time, even the mind is shut down. And it is described that the soul is embraced by the super soul. Just like a child is embraced by the mother and put to sleep. So like that, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, out of His excessive affection and kindness, He doesn't want the soul, conditioned soul, to be tired. Actually, the reason why He provides dream, it is explained, is because the senses become very tired of dealing with the external world. That's why He provides the opportunity for swapna. So at least let the physical body be shut down. I mean, contact with the external world through the physical body, let that be shut down. So then He is given swapna. But even swapna is very tiring. Because for the soul, even that is external. That's not, even that is external. So even that is shut down. That's called dreamless sleep. So that is called dreamless sleep, sushupti. However, for those who have attained the highest stage of Krishna consciousness, prema bhakti, there is a fourth stage. That's called turiya. Turiya. Turiya literally means the fourth. So at that point, one has bhagavat sakshatkar. Now of course, there is an optional intermediate stage. There is an optional intermediate stage which we should recognize called Swatma Sakshatkar. Swatma Sakshatkar. And through those who are going through the indirect process, their processes come to the point of Swatma Sakshatkar. First of all, you realize yourself as being different from the body, as being different from the subtle body and gross body. Then they come to the point of Bhagavad Sakshatkar, Paramatma Sakshatkar, Swatma Sakshatkar, and then Paramatma Sakshatkar. But in the direct process of bhakti, we are not interested in Swatma Sakshatkar followed by Paramatma Sakshatkar. We are interested in increasing our devotional service so that simultaneously we have Swatma Sakshatkar and Paramatma Sakshatkar.
Yeah. Who will make the Sakshatma? Is two persons will meet together?
No. The soul sees himself. Just like when there is light. Suppose you are standing in front of a mirror. Like in places where they sell shirts and pants, they have a dressing room. They sometimes allow you to go and dress up and look at yourself. There are mirrors on four sides. So you can see. But suppose you dress up and the current goes off. So it becomes dark. You are unable to see yourself. When they turn on the light, you can see yourself. So you're seeing yourself. Swatma darshana, Swatma sakshatkar. It is not Paramatma sakshatkar. So that is the indirect process. The indirect process is step by step. Whereas in the direct process, it is double at the same time. That is why when Prabhupada comes across these verses here, which talk about self-realization, he has no problem because self-realization is automatically solved. Is automatically achieved when you have Krishna realization. It's like when you see the sun, you see the sun, you see yourself, you see everybody else. You see everyone. So when there is Bhagavad Sakshatkar, Swatma Sakshatkar is simultaneous to that. So we are aiming at Bhagavad Sakshatkar, Krishna consciousness. We want to come to the plane where we are conscious of Krishna's existence and His personality, His presence. So samadhistha refers to what for a person who has come to the plane of bhakti mishra jnana. It means he has come to the plane of swa atma sakshatkar. Okay, and he is going to take up a process by which he will come to the plane of paramatma sakshatkar. However, for those of us on the bhakti path, the direct process, we are aiming at Bhagavat Sakshatkar or Paramatma Sakshatkar. The same, Paramatma and Bhagavan are the same, ultimately they are the same. We are not talking of the localized super soul, but we are talking of the supreme soul. In that sense, Bhagavan is sometimes called Paramatma. So in that sense. So, the first question is about the soul, the Sthita Pragya, when he is in that stage, in the Turiya platform of Swatma Sakshatkar or Paramatma Sakshatkar. Whereas there are three questions on when he is on the Jagrata state. In other words, that soul, what are his internal features in the Turiya plane, beyond Jagrata, Swapna, Sushupti, Turiya plane. If he has come to Bhakti Mishra Jnana, it refers to his Swatma Sakshatkar position. Or if he is, or like Prabhupada explains even further, if he has attained Kevara Bhakti and love of Krishna, then he has come to the plane of Paramatma Sakshatkara, which includes Swatma Sakshatkara. Swatma Sakshatkara plus Paramatma Sakshatkara. But both of these, this Atma Sakshatkara, whether Swatma Sakshatkara or Paramatma Sakshatkara, they are called Turiya, fourth stage. So the first question is about Samadhistha, which means he has achieved the fourth stage. Is on that plane. But these three, the remaining three questions, how does he act, how does he talk, how does he function, these questions are about how he functions on the Jagrata plane. Is that clear? Tata hi sthita sthira pragya dhir yasya tasya samadhisthasya ka bhasha kim lakshanam bhashyate anayeti utpatte kena lakshana sthita pragya vidhiyate tyartha tatha vyutita sthita pragya katam bhashana dini kuryat. When he is on the Jagrata platform, when he is on the awakened or Jagrata platform beyond his samadhi, when he is on this plane, how does he talk and so on? Tadiyani tani prathak jana vilakshanani kidrashani tyartha. How is he different from other personalities? Tatra kim prabhasheta svayo stuti indayo sneha dvesha yoscha prapta yo mukataha swagatam va kim bruyat. Okay, this is our Chakravarti has already explained it, so I'm not going to repeat it. Kimasi dvahya vishesha katham indriyanam nigraham kuryat. How does he function? That means, how does he control his senses from moving towards external sense objects? Vrajeta kim tan nigraha abhave cha katham vishayan avapnuyat ityartha. And when he, how does he obtain sense objects? How does he obtain his sense objects when he does not keep his senses withdrawn? How does he obtain? How does he function? Shri Bhagavan Vacha, Prajahati Yada Kama, Sarvan Bartha Manogatan, Atpanya Vatpana Tushta, Sita Pragyas Tadochyate, Evam Prishto Bhagavan, Kramena Chaturna Uttaramaha, Yavada Dhyaya Purtihi. So he explains the first one, how he is situated on the Samadhi platform, on the fourth plane, Turiya platform. Faladeva Vidyabhushan is talking of Swatma Sakshatkar. But anything that he is writing here is automatically applicable for one who has attained Swatma Sakshatkar and Paramatma Sakshatkar, the Bhakti Marga, the perfect devotee within the Bhakti Marga plane. So this verse, first verse, text 55, is talking about that. Hey Partha, yada manogatan manasisthitan kaman sarvan prajahati santyajati tadasita pragya uchyate. When he gives up all desires that are coming from the mind, that are situated in the mind, then he is called sita pragya. Kamana manodharmatva parityoga yuktaha atmadharvatve dushakasyu dushakhya. Sa syad vakhni ushtata dinam iva iti bhavaha. Nano shushka kashta vat katam tishtati iti chet tatraha. So that means what? Does he remain like some piece of dry wood? He simply gives up all desires. So what does he do? Iti chet tatraha atmanye veti. Atmani pratyakrite manasi vasamanena swaprakashananda rupena atmana swarupena tushtaha parityuktaha kshudra vishayabhilashan santyajya Atmananda aramaha samadhistha stita pragyatyatha. He has realized that he is different from the body, and he has realized that he is a spirit soul who is he is fully satisfied by himself from the natural happiness that emanates from himself within the controlled mind. He is fully satisfied. So he has completely given up all these insignificant, he is hankering for these insignificant sense objects. Atma pumsi svabhave api prayatnam manasor api dhatavami manishayam sharira brahmanor api iti medinikara brahmachatra jiveshwara danyattarat nirahyam. Sometimes the word Atma is used to refer to the Jivatma. So he quotes a dictionary as an authoritative reference for that. Text 56. Dukkesh anadvignamana sukkesh vidyatasprita vitaraga vayakurodas. It's a zero one ruchyate. Let me see if there is any additional point. I'll only deal with additional points. We already seen all of these. Okay. He explains the second half. Viteti. Vitaraga. Kamaniyeshu priti shunyaha. So, vitaraga. Free from attraction. Free from attachment. Free from attachment means that he has no affection for anything material which is pleasant. You know, there are many things which are pleasant in this world, materially. He has no affection for them. Vita bhayaha vishaya apahartrishu prapteshu drupalasya mamaitani dharmyair bhavadbhir priyante iti danyi shunya. So when he comes across people who are going to steal many of his items, objects, then he doesn't tell them, oh, you are also such religious persons. You are all stealing all of these things which belong to me. I am so weak. Oh, and he is so depressed. He doesn't have that depression. A materialistic person would be disturbed. But he doesn't have such feelings of depression. Vita krodha. Teshveva prabbalasya mamaitani tuchai ravadvi katham apahartavyani iti krodashanyascha. And he doesn't become angry thinking, saying that, oh, people are trying to steal, you insignificant fellows, you are trying to steal my things, I am so strong, let's see what, just see what I'll do. So he doesn't have all this. Evam buddho mune ratmamanashila stita pragya iti artha. So this person is a muni. In the sense that he is an Atma Mananashila, he is capable of contemplating, reflecting on the self as being different from the body. Ittham Swanubhavam Paran Prati Swagatam Va Vadan An Udvego Nisprihatadi Vachah Prabhashate Ityuttaram. So this is the answer. How does he talk? This is the answer. How he talks. He speaks words which indicate that he has no desire, no mundane desire. He talks like this to himself or to others, and he has no agitation. So his words reflect lack of agitation. Yas sarvatra an abhisneha tatra prapya subhashubham navinanditi nadvesti tasya bhandya pratishthita. Practically the same as Chakravarti. Atra stuti ninda rupam vacho na bhashata iti vyatirekena tallakshanam. This is an indirect definition. Previously he gave a direct definition. The previous shloka, text 56, stated directly that he is not affected he is not agitated in this world, nor does he have any desires. So his speech directly reflects that. So that he stated previously. Now this is an indirect definition. From text 57 we understand that he does not talk certain types of words. He does not talk words of praise or criticism for any material phenomenon connected to him. So this is an indirect definition. Yada samharade chayam kurmam gani va sarvasha indriyani indriyate bhyastasya pragya pratishthita. Baladev Vidyabhushan gives an answer, gives an important insight. Atha kim asita iti asya utaram yada ityadi bhihi shadbhihi aha. Now, in 6 verses, beginning with yada samharade chaya, from text 58, beginning with text 58, 6 verses, he gives the answer to the question, how does he function? How does he, how he situated? I am yogi yada cha indriyarthibhya shabdadibhya swadhinani indriyani shotradini anayasena samharati samakarshati. He very easily withdraws his senses from sense objects. This is important. Not with difficulty, easily. Tadatasya pragya pratishtha iti anvayaha. Mukha kara charanani yatha anayasena kamataha samharati tadvad vishayabhya samakrishta indriyanam antasthapanam sitta pragyasya asanam. Just as a tortoise, very easily it moves its face, hands, feet inside its shell. So like that, very easily he does it. Vishayam nivartante niraharasya dehina rasavarjama sopyasya parandrishva nivartate. Regarding text 59, he makes this remark. Asya sita pragyasya tu rasopi vishaya ragopi vishaya bhyaha param svaprakash anandam atmanam dhishko anuhuya nivartate vinashyati iti saraga vishaya nivrittis tasya lakshanam iti navyavicharaha. That the difference between a person who is forced to withdraw his senses from the sense objects due to circumstance or due to disability. You may have people who are, by circumstance, they have to withdraw their senses from sense objects. Or people who are unable to engage their senses in the sense objects. That's one. They both belong to one group. Then you have another group. People who have come to the plane of sthitapragya. So people who have come to the plane of sthitapragya, they are able to experience the happiness of the soul. Those who are on the Kevala Bhakti plane, they experience the happiness of both the souls, themselves as well as the Supreme Lord and the relationship between them. So this personality, how is his sense withdrawal different from their sense withdrawal? Baladev Vidyabhushan says, Saraga Vishyan Nivrittihi Tasya Lakshanam. He is not only withdrawing the senses, he is withdrawing the senses along with the desire to enjoy the sense objects. So he has withdrawn two things. He has withdrawn the desire to enjoy sense objects and he has withdrawn the senses. So therefore this definition that he had given earlier on how a liberated soul functions, text 58, how a liberated soul is situated, that is correct. It is not defective. Then I'll quickly read through. Madhu hasn't commented so much. His explanation is very nice. However, I'll begin with some excerpts from 54. Nacha Arjuna na janati iti tal lakshana. Nacha Arjuna na janati tal lakshana adikam. It is not that Arjuna does not know the characteristics of Svita Pragya. Arjuna is asking this question. How is a person whose, what are the symptoms of one whose consciousness is just merged in transcendence? So Madhvacharya explains, it is not that Arjuna does not know these characteristics. Jananti purva rajano devashayas tathaiva hi. Tathapi dharman prichanti vartaye guhya vittaye नते गुह्याः प्रतीयन्ते पुराणेषु अल्पबुद्धीनाम् इति वचनात्. Great kings of the past, as well as the Devarshis, they know about Vedic Dharma and about the qualities of different personalities. Still, so that others may know, and so that they can know the matter, the secrets of this matter, therefore they ask. Whereas unintelligent people, they don't understand this. Unintelligent people don't understand the mysteries of people. Prajahati yada kaman sarvan partha manogatan atmanyevapana tushtasthita prangyasthadochyate. Regarding material desires and spiritual desires, Sri Madhva has made a remark in his commentary to Bhagavatam on the 11th canto by quoting a scripture called Viveka. And he says that adushtakamas chidrupo jiva bhinna swarupataha dushtakamo manodharmas tasmadhyeyas sadaivasaha. Dushtakama, bad desires. Bad desires are a feature of the mind. They are characteristic of the mind. Whereas non-bad desires, adushtakama, good desires, these are spiritual in nature. These are actually inseparable from the jiva, from the jiva's swarupa. And therefore one should meditate on him. Gamanadi pravrittir na atyabhisandhi purvika mattadi pravritti vad iti yanisha ityadina darshayishyan lakhanam prathamataha. Arjuna had asked so many things. How does he move? How does he function? Now how he moves and how he functions, that he does without consciously, without thinking so much about the external world. Like the movement of a madman. We understand this from a verse which will come much later. Yanisha sarvabhutanam tasyam jagrati samyami. What is night for the embodied souls is day for the self-realized. And what is day for the embodied souls is night for the other group. So he is going to speak about this. Krishna, he is going to demonstrate this later. But first of all, Srimadva says, Lord Krishna, he explains the characteristic of this personality, of the sthitapragya. Prajahati evam paramananda trupta kimartham evam pravrittim karoti iti prashnabhipraya. The idea is, why does he explains what is in Arjuna's mind when he asks this question. Why is a person who is so satisfied with spiritual bliss, why does he have to act in this world the way he does? And he translates the word prajahati. Notice the word prajahati on text 55, the very first word, prajahati. Prajahati means gives up. But Sri Madhva explains it nicely. Prayah sarvan prajahati. That he almost gives up all desires. Shukadi naam api ishad darshanat. Because we notice that liberated souls such as Shukadeva Goswami also have some desires. They also have some desires. Tvatpada bhakti michanti jnani nastatva darshinaha. Those who are seers of the absolute truth, those who have full knowledge of the absolute truth, they desire devotion towards your lotus feet. Ityukte is tamichanti. So it is very clear that they do have a desire for devotional service to the Supreme Lord. So the word prajahati yadakaman sarvan partha manogatan. This means one gives up all desires. It appears to mean one gives up all desires. But prajahati means prayaha jahati. He almost gives up all desires. There's a little bit of desires. Which desires? Spiritual desires. With the exception of spiritual desires, he gives up all material desires. That's the point. He does not give up all desires. He doesn't give up the desire to serve Krishna. He only gives up all material desires. And another thing, see, Sri Madhvacharya, he several times wrote that he is Vayu. And there is a certain process of spiritual advancement through, for some very, very pious living entities, through the higher planetary systems. Prabhupada will explain this later in one point, in one purport, that when one goes to the heavenly planets and one cultivates Krishna consciousness there, he can progress from that heavenly planet to even higher heavenly planet. To an even higher heavenly planet. Srila Baladeva Vidya Bhushan explains, these are the Sanishtas. The Sanishtas, they engage in karma. They have desire to attain the spiritual world. But on the way, they want to see the wonderful features of this world, of the universe. So they become one demigod, then another demigod, then another demigod. So in that way, all the way they go, all the way to Brahmaloka. And along with Lord Brahma, when Lord Brahma is liberated, he and his whole group, they are all liberated. So this is one pathway. It is called Krama Mukti. Sridhar Swami explains this in the second canto of the Bhagavatam as Krama Mukti. Sequential liberation. Slow sequential liberation. Shukadeva Goswami summarizes this and Sridhar Swami talks about this. It's called Krama Mukti. Whereas our pathway is called Sadhyo Mukti. We want to go back to God in one lifetime. Which entails a lot of hard work. So, Krama Mukti. So, Madhvacharya, he is presenting in his writings the pathway of gradual liberation. Sequential gradual liberation. So, Madhvacharya has a lot of compassion and sympathy for spiritually progressive demigods. And he himself, he wrote that he is an incarnation of Vayu. And that he is scheduled to become the next Lord Brahma. After the current Lord Brahma becomes liberated, this current Vayu, whose third incarnation is Ananda Tirtha Madhvacharya, he will become Brahma. So he himself wrote it. And Baladeva Vidya Bhushan Prabhu also, in his commentary to Tattva Sandarbha, he repeats these points. The basic point that Madhvacharya is a pure devotee of the Supreme Personality of God and Vishnu, and he is an incarnation of Vayu himself. So, he is going to become Lord Brahma. Now, Lord Brahma, he is very sympathetic to the demigods, and he sees the Krishna consciousness in them, and he tries to increase their Krishna consciousness. Now there's this whole process, procedure. This is a complete world in itself. You know how they make spiritual progress and all that. Madhva has written extensively about it, and his South Indian followers have also analyzed and explored a lot about this. So Madhvacharya, he wants to point out. He explains this, Prajahati Yada Krama. You know, almost give up all desires. So he explains this as, sometimes you see, for instance, Indra, he polluted one married woman called Ahalya. You know, we know this from Ramayana, Gautama Rishi's wife, Ahalya. So now Madhvacharya points out, Indra is a great Vaishnava. He's a very great devotee. Madhvacharya presents him like this. There are some scriptures like the Brahmakanda or Garuda Purana which also talk the way Madhvacharya talks. They present a whole gradation of Vaishnavas. The highest Vaishnava is Lord Brahma. Next to him is Vayu. Like that, the whole queue. So Indra is somewhere in the top of that queue also. So Indra is said to be a great Vaishnava in some scriptures. So Madhvacharya tackles this point, that how great Vaishnavas like Indra, how could he do so abominable activity? So then he says, this is because of Abhibhava. Abhibhava means sometimes they are overwhelmed by their previous karma, by the Lord's arrangement. In his Sukshma Tika commentary to Govinda Bhashya, which is a commentary on the Vedanta Sutra, Baladeva Vidya Bhushan Prabhu writes in the third chapter, in one place, he explains that sometimes the Supreme Lord Himself, in order to help the Sanishta devotees, demigods like Indra, in order to increase their humility and to increase their devotion to Him, as a super soul, He causes them to do some foolish thing, by which, you know, they're always made humble. Like, for instance, we know in Krishna's Vrindavan pastimes, Indra, who very well knows Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, was bewildered into trying to harass the Vrajavasis, and Krishna made a fool out of him. Krishna made him look like a fool. But this is between him and Indra. Indra is a great Vaishnava. Indra is not some foolish creature. There is an undercurrent of criticism about the position of demigods throughout every canto of the Bhagavatam. And immature Vaishnavas, they think that all demigods are worthy of criticism. But we should also learn to see that they are Vaishnavas. So Madhvacharya, when he is talking of Vaishnava, he is talking of all these people. When he thinks of Samadhistha, Staprajna, he is thinking of all these people. He is not thinking of some human being who started to move his beans. He is thinking of all these people. From his perspective, from the perspective of Lord Brahma, the upper half of the universe are all practicing Krishna consciousness. Because if you don't worship Lord Vishnu, you cannot even enter the demigod planets. That doesn't mean that you are seeking liberation. You may want to worship so that you can go to the heavenly planets, enjoy and come back. That's called a Sakama Karmi. You're not even seeking something higher. Most of the people who go to demigod planets are like that. But the Nishkama Karmis also manage to go there if they have a desire to attain the spiritual world through the planets of the demigods, the Sanishtas. So, from their perspective, when they hear Vaishnava, they are thinking about all of them. Like when Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, when he comes across a Vaishnava, he is thinking of Adi Bharata. He is thinking of all these personalities. Avadhut in the 11th canto. He is thinking of Shrutadev in the 10th canto. He is thinking of Shaubari Rishi from 9th canto. Priyavrata from 5th canto. This is what they are thinking of. They are not thinking like we think. We are very foolish people. When we think of devotee, we think about our department head, about the new bhakta who joined here day before yesterday. They are not. They look through Shastra. They always look inside Shastra. Even when there is a description of a defective Vaishnava, they always look inside Shastra for an example. First of all, you have to look and understand Shastra first of all. Then you can see this world. It's more important to see Shastra than to see this world. The world of Shastra for a liberation seeker is more important than the world of their experience, than the material world. Because this world, this only shows you sense objects. The world revealed in scripture is beyond sense objects, which is more important. We'll come back to that point. That is a very important point. We'll come back to it. So he says, therefore he says, he almost completely gives up all desires because he wants to include all these great demigods. These demigods are also sitaprajñas to various degrees. They are not sitaprajña completely, but they are sitaprajña to various degrees. But Madhvacharya also points out that there is a gradation of Vaishnavas by qualities. In the Gaudiya Vaishnava line, we are interested in Vaishnavas graded by quality. Gunagata taratamya. We also grade Vaishnavas. We also talk about Uttamadhikari Vaishnavas, Madhyamadhikari Vaishnavas, Kanishthadhikari Vaishnavas. It is very important to understand gradation because you have to deal with Vaishnavas corresponding to where they are situated. If you don't know this and you mix it up, your spiritual progress is going to become very difficult. This is a very important point. Madhvacharya talks about gradation based on species. Jati gata taratamya. Whereas we are talking about gradation based on quality. Madhvacharya in one place has spoken about gunagata taratamya. Gradation based on quality. But he has not amplified it. He has not elaborated on it. But in our line, we elaborate on this. So that one point is to be noted. Then he says, Atmana, you see the word Atmana. Atmana. Atmanyeva Atmana tushtasthita prajnastadochyate. And he translates Atmana as Paramatmana. Atmana means by the Paramatma. Paramatmanyeva sthitah san. Atmakye tasmin sthitasya tat prasadadaiva tushtir bhavati. And Atmani means Paramatmani. He finds happiness in the soul means in the super soul. And by the Atma, Atmana, by the purified mind means by the Paramatma. By the mercy of Paramatma, he finds satisfaction in the Paramatma. Without the mercy of Paramatma, you cannot find happiness in Paramatma. Atma khe tasmin sthitasya tat prasadadeva tushtir bhavati. Vishayamstu parityajya rame sthitim. Atastataha devad bhavati vai tushtir nanyatatu kathanchana. Iti Narayana Ramakalpe. So as it is stated in Narayana Ramakalpa, the scripture, that one abandons all the sense objects and one becomes fixed on Lord Ram. It is only by the mercy of that Supreme Lord that one finds satisfaction in Him, by no other means. So he gives this evidence. Taddeva svashtayati uttarayhi tribhihi shlokaihi. And he elaborates on that very point in the next three shlokas. So he has translated it differently. Etanyeva jnana upayani cha. These very qualities are the means for one who wants to make spiritual progress. This is the natural characteristic of a liberated Vaishnava. But these are also the means by which one can come to that point. Tachoktam tadvai jigyasvis sadhyam jnaninam yattu lakshanam iti. The liberated Vaishnavas, their characteristics are meant to be achieved by those who are inquisitive to move, who are desirous of coming to that plane. Generally, when Madhvacharya talks about jnani, he is talking of a bhakta, because he is talking to a Mayavadi audience. The Mayavadi audience considers themselves to be great learned souls. So he always pointed out, you people are fools. The real learned souls are the Vaishnavas. So he would refer to Vaishnavas as learned souls. So when he writes jnani, we should not think he is talking of some impersonalist jnani. In our group, jnani is a bad word. But in Madhva's group, jnani is a great word. It is like how we say Uttamadhikari. Within ISKCON, we say is Uttamadhikari. Pure devotee, Shuddha Bhakta. It's a big word in ISKCON. So in Madhva, in his writings, jnani is a very big word. Jnani means pure devotee in their line. Because he's talking to that group, he's using their language. He's using their language differently. So he's using their language differently. Shobhanadhyasaha ragaha. Raso ragas tatharakti shobhanadhyasa uchyate. Itihi abhidanam. What does raga mean? Vita raga vaya krodha. He's free from attachment. Attachment means that you superimpose the concept that this is very auspicious or good for me. That is called attachment. This is good for me. If I think this is good for me, I need it, and that is called attachment. Then regarding Vishayavani Vartante, Nachaitala Lakshanam Jnanam Ayatna Topi Bhavati Tyah Aha Uttara Shlokaihi. Sattva aparoksha jnana deva nivartate tyaha vishayati. When one attains direct perception of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then one's desire for sense objects goes away. In a second commentary, he explains the verse, text 55, as sarvakaman nivrittistu jnanato na kathanchana anishiddha kamitaiva ato hya kamitatvam mitiryate. Whenever it is stated, first of all he says that for a person who is learned, there is nothing called freedom from all desires. Whenever you hear that a person has no desire, it means he has no forbidden desire. Aparokshadrishopi syad yada nasti aparokshadrik kvachit viruddhakamopi yatha ayudhya dharo harim ato anabhibhavo yavad drishas. This is all about the abhibhava. I told you about the abhibhava of the demigods. Atmani means Vishnu. Atmani means in Vishnu. Atmana means Vishnuna. Tat prasada deva tushtaha means by Vishnu. He finds satisfaction in Vishnu by the mercy of Vishnu. So that is Madhva. Ramanuja has translated this differently. In a way, that is very useful for those of us who are introspective in Krishna consciousness. His comments are short here, but there are a few points which you should note. Now he when he talks of Stita Pragya, he is talking of one who has attained the plane of Sva Atma Sakshatkara. In other words, he has come to the plane of Bhakti Mishra Jnana. Okay. But as I explained several times, that this naturally applies to one who is progressing on the path of increasing bhakti, when one realizes both Swatma and Paramatma. That's our path. One realizes the Supreme Soul, the Supreme Personality of God, and one's own soul simultaneously. He points out, text 55, when a man gives up all varieties of desire for sense gratification which arise from mental concoction, when his mind thus purified finds satisfaction in the self alone, then he is said to be in pure transcendental consciousness. So when it comes to Bhakti Mishra Jnana, the plane of Bhakti Mishra Jnana, there are actually four levels of Bhakti Mishra Jnana. Even though I summarized it in the indirect process as simply Bhakti Mishra Jnana, there are four levels inside it. So this shloka, shloka number 55, talks about the fourth level. Jnananishtha kashtayam, it is called Jnananishtha. Anantaram Jnananishthasya tatah arvachina adura viprakrishta avastha uchyate. So that is level 4. Then level 3 comes out as text 56. One who is not disturbed in mind, even amidst the threefold miseries, are elated when there is happiness, and who is free from attachment, fear and anger, is called the sage of steady mind. Then he puts out, tataha arvachina dasha pravachyate, which is level 2, comes out as text 57. In the material world, one who is unaffected by whatever good or evil he may obtain, neither praising it nor despising it, is firmly fixed in perfect knowledge. Then he says, tataha arvachina dasha prochyate. And then he gives out text 58. One who is able to withdraw his senses from sense objects as a tortoise draws its limbs within the shell is firmly fixed in perfect consciousness. So text 58 gives out level 1, text 57, level 2, text 56, level 3, text 55, level 4. These are four levels within Bhakti Mishra Jnana. And these can be utilized for checking our own spiritual progress on the path of increasing bhakti also. Very useful for those of us who like to introspectively check our own level of spiritual progress. Very useful. Even though we are not moving in the indirect process. And then he says, Idanim jnananishthaya dushprapatam tat praptyupayam cha aha. Now he says, now Krishna, he points out that see how difficult it is how rare it is, how difficult it is to attain Jnananishtha, the fourth level of Bhakti Mishra Jnana. And then he also points out the means to come to that plane by means of text 59. Raga api atmaswarupam vishayabhyah param sukhataram drishtva vinivartate. That one's desires for sense objects, they naturally go away after one realizes that the living entity is more pleasing than all the sense objects. That was Ramanuja. And I think we should stop now. We'll continue tomorrow. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare.